Are you excited tonight?
Amen.
Are you expectant tonight? Amen. All right. I think it should have got louder, but amen. That's when it works for you, when you get thrilled with it. Amen. When you get it, the word that you get excited about is the word that works for you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you, Father God, for divinely granted utterance that you will give us to minister to these, your precious people. Thank you, Father God, for impact, for instruction, for illumination, for impartation, Father God, of your word and the anointing of the Holy Spirit in these precious people and those either who are coming or will attend or listen to it in Jesus' name. All to the glory of God. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Romans 11:29 says to us in the Amplified, the gifts and call are irrevocable. And so we're going to be talking about that in great kind of diagram and detail tonight. The gifts and call are irrevocable. It says in the Amplified, he never withdraws them from once they are given, and he does not change his mind about those whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. Praise God. So we're not in charge of the call department. Amen. Or the giving of grace department. We are in charge of obeying, getting in our place department, and getting in our grace department, and fulfilling the call department. Amen. Finishing the call. So in Romans chapter 12, we're going to start there because we're going to be talking about primarily membership and ministry, and what is this? What should this translate to yours and my ears and our heart understanding and mind's comprehension? Our mind's comprehension and our heart understanding should walk away with this tonight. This is what we are to be and become, and what we are to do as we are to be and become as members of the body, and what we are to do as ministers. So in other words, you and I should be endeavoring to be good members, good ministers of the body, ministers of the church. Praise God. Hallelujah. So that should be your big takeaway with clarity tonight. And it says in Romans 12:1-8, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. That means accurately, purposefully, intentionally, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Everybody say, I have a measure of the God kind of faith. So he gave you the equipment to be able to fulfill the call, to operate in your God-given giftedness. Praise God. So we being many are one body. Everybody say one body. For we have many members in one body. Say it again, one body. See, many members, but one body. And all members do not have the same function or the same use. Or the same office. You can look at those in three different dimensions. We all don't have the same office. Your office is your office, not my office. And too often we think that the pastor's got the only one got the office, but we have to think about that you have an office, you have a function, you have a use. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Amen. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in the proportion to our faith. If or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. Those are service. He that He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. And he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So we see seven what we call a charisma or spiritual gifts here. These are the seven spiritual gifts, endowments that each of us have, one or more than one of these. So one of these seven belong to you or have been given to you. Amen. In that category, you're in that big bucket. It'll pan out here in a minute. First Corinthians 7:7 says, For I wish that you all men were even as I myself. Because, see, Paul had gifts and abilities, you know, in his assignment. But each one has his own gift from who? From God, who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So the Bible teaches that everyone is gifted. Everyone is gifted. So this is something we need to rediscover during these 3 weeks of prayer and fasting, is rediscover how you've been gifted. See, our giftedness is the unique way we think, feel, and act. It is the way God made or wired us. You've been wired a certain way. There's no bad gifts, because every good gift and perfect gift comes from where? Comes from God, comes from above. Amen. So your gift is what God intended for you to have. He's not going to revoke it. He's not going to pull it back or take it back. It's up to you and me to use it and function in it. We all have God-given personalities that affect our natural motivations and divine enablements. Basically, we've been uniquely shaped by God. Now, we're going to define this S-H-A-P-E because this is big. So we each have a significant, or each are significant and necessary to complete the membership who we are to be and ministry what we are to do of the church. The scripture even tells us in 1 Corinthians 12 that all even the feeble members, the weak ones, the new ones, are most necessary. Amen? So think about my thumb for a minute. If you look at visually, you know, if it disconnects from my hand, it's going to become dysfunctional and not functional. And medically speaking, it's going to atrophy, get worse, rotten, ruin, decay, you know, get gangrenous, perhaps. So it's going to be out of place. See, in place, it functions as a thumb, not as an eye or ear, but as a thumb. So it helps me grab things, right? It helps me write, because I'm right-handed, my right thumb. You know, so it's very vital for me writing. So it has a function. It has a use. Amen. And so everybody has a function and has a use or an office in the body. Amen? And then we all have ministries within the church. Praise God. So we said our church gets strong when what? Every member becomes a minister. So stop thinking, you know, in an old traditional way that the minister is the only one that stands behind the platform, pulpit, and speaks. No, a minister, stop thinking traditionally or, you know, old school. Every member is to be and become a minister. That's what we had. We shared that in December last year, that it's important that every one of us take the mantle of ministry and be a good member and be a good minister. That's what we're talking about tonight. So S, spiritual gifts, S equals spiritual gifts. So how has God shaped you? S-H-A-P-E just simply means spiritual gifts. So you have to thank God and engage God and receive from God spiritual gifts. Receive your gift. He's given it to you, but gifts have to be what? Received. H is heart passions. Heart passions. Now, if you go to 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1, you'll see that each Christian believer has God-given passion, what we call them, motivations. So you have a motivation that drives you. Every Christian believer has a God-given passion or motivation that drives them. Now, here's the conflict or the rub. Some people don't appreciate or esteem or value other people's motivations. And so they think their motivation is the only motivation. That's why he put it in the love chapter, because he's telling us you've got to start this whole membership and ministry context within the local church in an atmosphere of love. In an atmosphere of love. Amen? Because if you don't love, you don't appreciate and honor and value other people's motivation. Now, here's what it says. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, that is a prayer motivation. Some people are real heavy and real bent toward prayer. And see, to them, prayer is everything. But it's not the only thing. Prayer is a big thing. It's a big motivation, but we have to appreciate the motivation that God put in us. And then he said, and have not charity or love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinging cymbal. Because you can pray out of love, outside of love. He said, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery. What is that? Spiritual gifts motivation. So you can see some people kind of like to gravitate toward where the prophetic is going, where the gifts of the Spirit, the more spectacular things of ministry are moving. And so they're motivated that way. They like to see that stuff. You know, they think the service is boring if it's just teaching. They want to see everybody hanging off the chandeliers running around the church. Well, you know, every service is not like that. We talked about that last year, the types of worship service that we are to have. Sometimes we do have believers meetings. That's where, you know, the spiritual motivations kind of lead the way. And then he said, and all knowledge. And though I have faith, so there is, see, faith motivation. Some people think, well, you know, we just got to believe God and we got to charge to the next goal. They're very demonstrative and goal-oriented and focused on what can faith do. What's the next level of faith? What's the next thing we got to accomplish? Amen. But faith is not the only motivation. And then you see, so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Now, verse 3 tells us the last one, the last major one. These are four big ones. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned. What is that? We call activism motivation. So some people are cause-oriented about, or activism-oriented about certain causes. Feeding the poor, clothing the homeless, and helping the hurting. Kind of a mercy motivation. Because they think, well, we ought to be just given to people less fortunate and give, you know, that kind of thing. Well, that's a motivation, but don't let it get mess you up. You got to appreciate the ones that like to pray, motivate to pray. You got to appreciate and value and honor the ones who like spiritual gifts for that, because that keeps things where we're always expecting God to show up and show off and do things and say things in our church service. Amen? And then faith, we got to be believing God and trusting God for bigger, better, and higher things. Praise the Lord. But that has to work in the context of the local church in an atmosphere of love. He said, though, but and have not charity, the prophet. So everything has to be operated, those motivation has to be operated and moved based on what? Based on love. So if you're taking notes on there, you can see the prayer motivation, spiritual gifts motivation, faith motivation, activism motivation? And then A is your abilities. Everybody say abilities. Abilities. So examples are some people have trade skills. Some people have technical skills. You know, for example, Tristan, you know, and Lauren have trade and technical skills. They can work a computer. They know software programs. They're familiar with that kind of stuff. They have technical abilities. They have trade skills working in a restaurant or in like Rusty, for example, working in certain areas of real estate, mortgage, you know, lending and stuff like that. So, you know, those are skills that you have, you know, you learned, acquired, assimilated, praise God. Typing skills. Some people can type real good. Some people can't type very good. Some people have tactical skills, practical skills, troubleshooting skills. Those are abilities. I mean, you think about, you know, they moved away, but, you know, Brother Rodney, he's a fix-it man. He can just about fix anything. Cars to computers and everything in between. Seemed like that was his skill, though. His ability. Brother Hagin said one time, before Christ, he said, I had this unique ability to pick any lock. Well, that was an ability. He can get in any door. So he said he was too weak to really break in anything, but he could pick the lock and then let the other guys go in and steal the candy. he said he never thought, man, I don't know why I can't have to use it. But because he traveled so much when he was early on in ministries, some of the pastors and stuff, they would say, well, you come by anytime. You can come out anytime, stay and rest at our house. And so they left the door open for him. But they didn't ever give him a key. So sometimes he had to use that opportunity. But they weren't at home. So what did he do? He picked a lock, went in, slept, ate, left a note and said, you know, I was here. Hallelujah. So everybody say abilities. So what are your abilities? See, this is about rediscovering. P is personality. And again, when you take a DISC personality, it tells you, you know, you're a D. You know, you're kind of directive, dictator, dominator, leader, you know, bold person, personality. You're kind of like a peacock, you know. You talk a lot and you like, you know, you'd be chief marketing person someday. You know, you like to promote everything and talk about everything. S and C, but you need all of them to work together. There's no bad personalities. Amen. And then experiences. Some of us went to school. Some of us went to the military. You know, several of us in this room went to the military. Some of us went to, came out of certain cultures that we picked up a lot of experiences from those cultural experiences. God blesses that and sanctifies that for how he wants to use you in the kingdom. So everybody say it with me, all five, spiritual gifts, heart passions, abilities, personality, and experiences. Praise God. All right, so the gifts and graces in the body, we see manifestations of the Spirit. And, of course, these are in gifts that are expression or manifestation. We see in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, now, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So God will use you in one of these nine ways. Now, these you don't own, and you can't operate at will, but as the Spirit wills. Is as the Spirit wills. Watch this. To profit with all. But what are they for? Personal benefit? No. Profit others, everybody else, in this case, the church. So the gifts of the Spirit are for the profitability of everybody. So you don't want to suppress those and repress those. because God will use you. We often said the protocol of manifestation of the spirits is he will use you and train you privately before he uses you publicly. And so that's why we say on this three-week fast, you rediscover your private dealings and workings of the Holy Spirit. Because we see in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, that we're not to be drunk with wine, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. Speaking to ourselves in Psalms and healing spirits. You're not just to be praying, you know, mechanically and routinely and just regimentedly. No, pray with an intention to get in the flow, get in the Spirit. And so when you get in the Spirit, then those equippings and those giftings start to function and operate. So that's why he gives you that avenue of psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And so you begin to express those things. You begin to delve into those things. You begin to explore those things and experience those things. You know, it's very, like I always said, that God used me in private, personal prophesying or prophecy in tongues and interpretation before I ever did it in public. And in my case, it was years. You know, well, the first one was, you know, about when we were to get married. But God will use you personally and in private will use you publicly. You get more proficient in it. Amen. He trains you in the private settings. Amen. So here they are. For one is given to by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Now the order of mention is always the order of priority and best gifts. So the best gift is the word of wisdom. Another, the word of knowledge. Those are two revelations by the same Spirit. To another, faith or special faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healings. It's actually gifts and healings, plural, by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But these all worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man and woman severally as he will. In other words, manifestation simply means open to sight or to be visible. That means you will sense something God wants to say in the utterance gifts of the Spirit. You see the layout there. The utterance gifts is when God wants to say something. You could be at lunch or Starbucks talking with someone, and the Holy Spirit might want to say something. It may come out as prophecy, or it may come out as tongues and interpretation. Amen. In those casual settings, we think the gifts of the Spirit are supposed to always work in a 10:30 to 12 o'clock church service, or 7 to 8:15 Wednesday night service, 8:25 Wednesday night service. No, they should be working out there. Because God wants to train you in when private settings, personal settings, so he can use you in public settings. God may want to reveal something, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, revelation of those kinds of things, or discerning spirits. As you promote, you get more depth and more gifts, manifestations will operate in. You know, for me personally, you know, as stepping into pastor, you know, it'd be occasional word of knowledge, word of wisdom. But recently, just as recently as October of last year, it seems like I stepped across the line. And it's like, oh, wow, more word of knowledge, word of wisdom operating. But remember the concept of the law of use. If you don't use them, you lose them. And not in a sense of they're gone forever, but they just lie dormant and you squander those opportunities to be used by the Lord in them. And you get dull and it's kind of insensitive. And so you have to repent. Lord, I know you wanted to say something, but I didn't yield. I wasn't open to it. Second is spiritual gifts. We just read that earlier, Romans 12. And so these are divine gratuity or spiritual endowments, gifts with grace. And so all of us have at least one of those, or maybe more. Prophecy, ministry, which is basically serving, serving others, serving the more spiritual gifts, teaching, exhort. Now, that's not a ministry gift of teaching, but being able to teach and train and develop, you know, in a sense of people or things of God. Exhort, encouragement, giving, ruling, administration, and showing mercy. Then there's ministry gifts. Ministry gifts are the fivefold. He said the fivefold ministry gifts, which are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Praise the Lord. Everybody good? All right. Now, on the back of the next page, we see the pathway of progress as a member of the body. So what are we focusing on? Who we are to be and become as members of the body, and what we are to do as good ministers within the church. So as a good member, we have those five common purposes that we ought to be walking out and working out. First, being a good member. What is that? Commitment to your commitment of, to your commitment to God and the local church family. That means we ought to be growing in that commitment to God and His church family. We don't just stay stagnant, but our commitment should be what? Growing. That's why this 3-week fast is so critical for us, to renew our commitment and consecration to who? The Lord first, and to His church that we've been set in and set under. Amen. So you should be growing in your heart commitment to that. Of course, life commitment. And then maturity is the next step, growing in your commitment to the habits of spiritual maturity. Now, again, most of you are on the Bible reading program. I think all of you in here. And so we get committed. I don't want to read the Bible the same like last year. We read the Bible last year and the year before that. The year before that. But you want to spend time and not do it out of routine or regimen or religious duty. You want to receive every day life from the Word, illumination from the Word, light from the Word. Come on now. Because He said His Word is life to those that find Him, and medicine to all the flesh. You can receive life today. Lord, what are You saying to me out of this Word? Go back and look at it. Some days, I'm just giving you my, being transparent about my, you know, some days, I'm there 20, 30 minutes in that same chapter, in that same reading. What am I doing? I'm hovering and waiting to receive something. I'm not just reading and say, check the block. I'm done. That's over. Amen? Because remember, God will not do two things for us. He will not receive for us, and He will not resist the devil for us. So sometimes your answers or the revelation or the food that He wants to give you is in that chapter. And remember, you're not just trying to read for yourself benefit, but when you grow, you help the church grow. Amen? When you read Matthew 5 and you get a revelation of salt and light and how to be salt and light, it's transformational. Praise God. So the habits of spiritual growth, growing in love, growing in faith, patience, endurance, and grace, all those things. Then ministry, growing in your commitment to serve. So in other words, we improve and increase our serve. Lord, how do You want me to improve and increase my service in this place, in this role and responsibility? How do You want me to improve and what? Increase. Everybody say improve and increase. Why? Because this is a year of multiplication and increase. So we think all the increase is coming from out there and up there from God. But increase should be coming from here, from our service, for our support, our sowing, our sharing. All of that should be increasing, amen, not decreasing. Amen. So we should be ramping up and amping up our serve. improving and increasing our serve to God in our spheres of influence and to the local church that we've been assigned and appointed to. Amen. Everybody seeing this? All right, missions. We see we're growing in our commitment to share and show the gospel. Growing in our commitment. Now, you can go back and partner with the Holy Spirit during this fast and the Lord and say, Lord, you know, how'd you like my sharing and showing the gospel? Where do I need to increase? How do you want me to make adjustments? Because remember, all of us have 4 missional reaches that we are obligated and responsible to God for. Acts 1 and 8 tells us, and you shall receive what? Power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be what? Witnesses unto me. Where? Both in Jerusalem, that's home and family. That means if everybody's not serving the Lord in your family, that's part of your assignment to reach them. How do we reach? Be salt and light. Show and share as the Lord leads and guides and directs you and instructs you. Jerusalem is your first mission field. We don't want to be just church, real churchy, and then all of our family members go to hell in a handbasket. Brother Hagin said, we said it before, he used his faith on his family all the way out to his second and sometimes third cousin. And he said he believed God to win him into the kingdom one by one. So we're on a mission. We're a church on a mission. We're supposed to be using our faith to see people come into the kingdom one by one, directly or indirectly by the hand of God and the grace of God. He didn't give you the Holy Spirit so you can just have goosebumps and talk in tongues. He gave you the Holy Spirit to be a witness unto him in Jerusalem, in Judea. What's Judea? Judea is your community and your sphere of influence. They're your friends, your co-workers, your community in which you live. Be a witness in Judea. And then Samaria. Those are the strangers, the people that are different, perhaps even difficult from you. Don't look like you. Don't have the same color as you. Don't even talk the way you do. You got to be a witness to Samaritans, strangers, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. So as a member, we are missional. We are not just congregational. We are missional. We are people on a mission and in ministry together. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. And then we magnify the Lord. In other words, we give God we do things to bring God the greatest glory and maximize the expansion of his kingdom. It's all for you, just like the song we just sung, the last song. You know, this is all for you, Lord. Why are we doing this? So God can get the greatest glory. And his kingdom can be maximized in expansion. We're here for the kingdom. We're not here to take sides. We're here to take over. Come on now. We're here to grow and increase and multiply the kingdom and multiply and increase the kingdom. Hallelujah. Now let's look at the ministries of the church. We see 7 prominent ministries. That these are standard, mandatory, kind of word dictated and determined ministries in the church. You can see the different ministries. Now, we have a question mark behind each one because this is what everybody needs to be praying about and praying for the church for. We need people to fill and function in these respective ministries. So the first ministry is the ministry of the word. Who is needed to do this? Now, it's the pastor. You know, but who else? The ministry of prayer. Like we said, our assignment is to pray on a higher order, a higher level. But who is needed to do this? So as we're praying to God, we're asking, Lord, fill the prayer ministry. Bring the prayers. Bring the prayer warriors. Bring the intercessors. Those that can pray heaven down. Praise the Lord. And then, help my brothers and sisters and help my pastor be a good prayer, an effective prayer, like we talked about last night. Because we can pray and just do our religious routine and duty, or we can be effective. Because the heartfelt, what we say, the heartfelt continued prayer of a righteous man, it makes tremendous power available, dynamic, and it's working. Amen. Ministry of Reconciliation. So who's needed to do that? Ministry of Restoration. Who's needed to do this? Ministry of Helps. We're going to define that down below, our structure. Who's needed to do this? What other people are needed to fill in this? And then the Ministry of Encouragement. Who is needed to do this? Because, you know, the devil always tries to do things to discourage us and depress us. That's his MO of attack. We called it, it's called in Isaiah 61, the spirit of heaviness. The spirit of heaviness. There is a spirit of heaviness that he tries to put on people. And he's not talking about people that are not working or not coming to church. He's talking about people that are in the church. And he tries to get them discouraged and depressed. Why? So you don't do ministry. You don't want to do ministry. So you need encouragers, meaning to take people who are out of courage, put them back into courage. And that's a skill and an anointing to put people back on their path, back in their place, and back in their grace, motivated, ready to go. And then, of course, the ministry of comfort, consolation. Who is needed to do this? See, the other specific ministries in the church that we don't always see visibly is what are listed there. And then you see the things that are pretty visible down at the bottom. Children's ministry, for example, sound and media, and then communication, connection and care team, praise and worship. What is it? Well, because we said Sunday, four things unite us, and one of these four things is our structure. We said our Savior unites us, because not everybody's receiving Jesus as Lord. We do. That unites us. We rally around him, who he is, what he's done through his death, burial, and resurrection. Our salvation unites us. So we believe that you must be born again. You can't join in. You have to be born again to get in. Amen? So our salvation unites us. And then we said our strategy. That means God has sent people and set members in the body for a unique purpose and plan. That means we rally around the cause of why we exist as a church. Our vision, our mission. Amen? Our strategy. So we put all our hands in and say, go team. Amen. Unity is a big deal. As we said, the three levels, the unity of the brethren, unity of the spirit, and unity of the faith. These are things that unite us. And then lastly, our structure. Our structure unites us. We talked about the structure we are now and the structure we want to be and become over the next seasons and times that the Lord delays his coming. We have to increase and improve our structure, our ministry of helps structure. Amen? We need people futuristically in the youth ministry, in the singles ministry, in the mercy and benevolence ministry, because there's people hurting all around us. And people that need help all around us. We need people to lead and do men's ministry and altar care ministry and community liaison. That means we're connected to what's going on in the pulse of the community and our city and our country. We want to have something on the wall that says, these are the people we pray for and believe for in positions of leadership and civil responsibility in our community. All right, next page. So Ephesians 5:14-16 says, instead, we speak the truth in love, growing up in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does his own special work. He helps it helps the other parts grow. So when you do your work, you help us grow. That's critical in these next 3 weeks for you to rediscover those things and reengage in those things so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So we've been knitted together in who? Jesus. We've been knitted together in Jesus. This is the Lord doing this. Once covenant has been made, you're never a single person again. Again, my thumb can't jump off my hand because it's part of what? The body. We comprehend God together. We keep an open ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to our church. Now, you can know if you're not hearing very well, you're talking everything that's being said outside of the church. You're not hearing what the Spirit is saying to your church. You got to be cautious of that. Because if you stay on social media long, you'll be talking to everybody else's language. If you stay in connection with people who are outside of the church too much and not hearing the voice of the shepherd, I'm talking about the chief shepherd, Jesus, through the under-shepherd. Amen. You're not hearing very well. See, isolation and independence are not God's plan for us. We relinquish and lay down our me-ness and pick up and take on a we-ness. You're part of a family. See, the body is our divine calling. The body is our divine calling. See, to minister to Jesus, the body is the calling of every joint of the body. We supply and bring our supply so that every part makes increase. See, the ministry of the body is reconciliation. So we're trying to be restored and reconciled back to the fullness and stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. Manifestations of the Holy Spirit are given to minister to Jesus by ministering to his body. They're here to profit with all or profit everyone. Does everybody see this? So let's get through this last part real quick, and then we'll close. But understanding vision and our vision. So without a vision, there's perish. So he said we fast and pray for 3 weeks. Why? Because a diet changes how you look, but fasting changes how you see. And fasting positions us to be able to hear and see clearly. I pray that your hearing and your seeing is very clear over these next 3 weeks in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen to that. See, the word perish does not mean to die physically. See, without no vision, you perish. That's the predicament that we have to forego and avoid. From the original Greek text, it means to be stripped of honor and dignity. We can conclude, therefore, that vision is the pathway to honor and dignity. That's all part of the glory, glorious church. Knowing where we are going and what to do to get there generates confidence. So what is vision? Vision means to see. In its redemptive revelation, is a redemptive revelation of God. In our context, it means to see ahead. It's able to have pre-knowledge of an upcoming event. We all see what we are called and created to do. Amen. It's more interesting to know that God has a plan for his people both as a body and as individuals. We serve a decent and orderly God. He's not the author of confusion. He's a God of plans and what? Purposes. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Galatians 1:15, but it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. So God still separates people today from their mother's womb. Yours and my journey begins at the new birth and salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. So it's not just a decision, but a discovery of the purpose you were born and born again for. You don't have to develop. a purpose or plan, only diligently discover and by faith and faithfulness deploy into his ordained and assigned plan. Take our place and our grace. Understand that you were born to fulfill a determined course, and a discovery of that course is what is called vision. So as a member of the body, you are a steward of a particular function. As a member of the body, you're a steward of the particular, that's your ministry, that's your part, that's your office. God equips you to carry out this function. This is stewardship. It's not limited to the pulpit. Ministry is occupying your position as assigned by God. Now, we said, or appointed by the leaders that God has put in for. So when you're appointed, you're anointed. Now, here's the rub. People don't like to give up stuff. So you got to go in that position with the understanding that the pastor or whoever's leading that ministry may disappoint you, because they may have to temporarily put you in position. But when you're appointed, you're anointed. But then don't get upset when you, okay, the permanent person, the person that's really supposed to be there has come in. So I need you to come out and then get in your right spot. Amen. So we have to be that way. So ministry is occupied. So you have a ministry, and it's your job to discover it. And the future of every believer depends on the discovery of his or her purpose. Amen. And you have to come across, you've never come across a body with just one big eye. None of us have, right? Or one big mouth. No, a body is made up of different members. And know this, no calling is of no status. Every calling, every function is a high calling. Every calling culminates in glory. Every member of the king's body has a royal aroma. We are the body of Christ. We are a part of the body of Jesus. Our church becomes triumphant, supernatural, and glorious when every member takes their place, flows and functions in their God-given grace, and runs their ordained race and serves as a minister. Now, how do you activate the anointing? How much time? Okay, good. 5 minutes. What is the anointing again? Isaiah 10:28 says that it removes, is the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. Now, it doesn't matter if you are cleaning the bathrooms and cleaning the church. You don't do it without the anointing. Amen. Amen. If you're sweeping a broom or standing at the door in hospitality, you don't do it without the what? The anointing. The anointing is the divine endowment given by the Holy Spirit, rendering believers holy and separate unto God for their particular work in the ministry. So, for example, if you have the privilege given by the church and by God to minister to one person, you want to make sure that I'm operating under the anointing. I'm operating in what? The anointing. Everybody say the anointing. Hallelujah. Because the anointing makes ministry work. Nothing gets done without the anointing. So everybody say, I'm anointed. And what it does for you is separates you holy and separated. So God gives you credit and rewards you for operating under the anointing. Because when you operate in the flesh, it kind of vexes him or displeases him. So you have to be anointed for your work. So don't step out without the anointing. Further, the anointing symbolizes equipment, God-given gifts, talents, and ability for service. Every believer who has been allocated and anointed to activate his God-given gifts, talents, and abilities. Now, how do you activate? First, the Holy Spirit is the agent of sanctification. If you receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you have been sanctified and separated unto God by the Holy Spirit. So you've been set apart to be used by God exclusively. And then second, the power and increase of the anointing comes by the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You stay filled with the Spirit. Amen. See, the anointing is the force of power of God operating in and on an individual. It is the power of the Holy Spirit, the enabler. So we want to make sure that everyone who's serving in ministry is spirit-filled and lives a spirit-filled lifestyle. Without the anointing, the Holy Spirit, every assignment becomes hard, arduous, comes hard. Without the anointing, every assignment becomes hard. And that's why you see people getting sniped or attacked by the enemy that brings that disturbing impression. Because, see, God said, touch not my, who? Anointed. But if you're not anointed, the devil can touch you. Because he knows if I touch the anointing, I just signed my death warrant. If anybody else touches the anointing, they sign their death warrant. Hallelujah. And so without the anointing, every assignment becomes hard. The anointing is the divine ease to make ministry triumphant, not task-oriented and heavy-laden. And so people get burdened. They start bickering about, you know, I need time off. I need to skip church. It's just tough. Well, you're getting beat up. There's no anointing. Revelation is the aspect of the anointing. The Holy Spirit reveals God's plan step by step and teaches us as believers how to execute it. When I didn't know how to do sound and with the radio and mix things down and big old book, the anointing made things work. I learned and was taught by the anointing to operate because I was appointed there, and then I received the anointing to do there. Praise God. So when you say stuff like I'm slow or I can't understand or I can't do this, you do all that, you block and stop the anointing. See, the only way a believer can hear from the Holy Spirit's revealed God plan for his life is step out and become involved in the local church. So part of that is activating your anointing, getting involved. Amen. Fourthly, the only way a believer can find his equipment, God-given gifts, talents, and abilities for service is by using them. Remember, don't let the anointing and the gifts lie dormant or docile in your life. So some people are waiting for physical proof of their abilities, and they want a manifestation of ability right up front, but getting involved in the church, but the equipment for service received from their father is activated by use. You know, I started cleaning the church. Amen. Fifth, the fifth crucial key to operating your gifts, talents, and abilities is being deployed in the local church, because everyone in here is part of the extended ministry of the local church. Everybody say, I'm a member. And I'm in the ministry. So you're not in ministry just because you're on schedule. So stop thinking that way. I'm on schedule to pray, to do this, so I'm in the ministry then. But when I'm not on schedule, I act like I'm not in the ministry. I live on the edge of carnality. Come on now. My confessions stop. My pushing forth and preparation and prayer time, slow down. No, you're in the ministry. Everybody say, I'm in the ministry. I'm in the ministry. See, this church becomes very strong when every member becomes a minister. Does everybody see this? Amen. So your entire lifestyle is a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, and stepping out without your anointing is like going out to play football without equipment. You see all these guys getting hurt in football games with equipment. Imagine what happens spiritually when you're not anointed. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get beat up. Come on, stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Begin to thank God.